many of us have all heard of origami, but I had never heard of horigami, which is based on an art form called kirigami. Now, joining me over in London town, I have Mark Hagan-Gyrie. Thank you very much for joining me.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So you're Mark, I'm Marcus. The two of us could be the new tribute act, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch.
I'm game. once the promotion for the book all dries up, I'm going to need some other creative outlet, so yeah.
Perfect. Well, sort of step my way. So Mark, what is the difference between origami and kirigami?
Well, origami is basically folding a piece of paper to make some kind of model, but kirigami, you cut and fold the paper. You only use one sheet of paper, really, but you know, you can end up producing a really beautiful, intricate architectural replica.
So it's a bit like when you were in nursery school and you cut out snowflakes, that type of an idea.
It's exactly that. Yes. That is kirigami, but I like to think my stuff's a little bit more advanced than that.
Well, this is what I was going to say, because it's a very spectacular book. Where
Thank
did you,
you
get your interest in horror?
Oh, you know, it comes from so many different inspiration points over my life as I've been growing up. But one of the major ones is definitely growing up in Northern Ireland. I mean, you know, it was a mixed time, but I lived in a predominantly Catholic area and it was rife with superstition. You know, there was so many kind of urban legends floating around and everybody had a ghost story about something they'd seen here or there. And, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know, had a massive influence. I lived on a street called Church Street and literally around the corner from us was Heather Park, and Heather Park had a slightly more sinister name of Gallows Hill, which of course is where the men got hanged, and of course that was, you know, perfect setting mm-hmm. for lots of ghost stories and tales to be told amongst the community.
So you had an exhibition of your work back in 2012,
yeah.
And it seemed to scare the world with a lot of your designs. So when you're putting some of your designs onto paper, how do you go about bringing the essence of like a horror picture into 3D?
Well, you know, I'm quite obsessive when it comes to my work, and every time I would start a new piece, I would collect as much resource material as possible, and I'd watch a film over and over again, and I'd freeze frame it, and you know, kind of I'd start reading the kind of whole history of the film on sites like IMDb, and then you know, and that means that I can make sort of very kind of clever references in the model itself. And then one of the major things that's important with my work, all of the pieces that I sell from my exhibitions are always set, always put into these really beautifully made light boxes, and you have like a really strong colour in the background, and that colour just, it kind of gives the paper this sort of dual sort of life. You know, on one side it's just, when you see it in brightness, it's just this kind of, you know, beautifully constructed piece of white paper, engineered piece of white paper, but then when you look at it in the dark and it's been lit up behind it, suddenly it becomes really theatrical, and you know, you've created this little window into a world. And you know, what was really lovely in my first exhibition was that when I was going in the next day into the gallery to kind of, you know, just sort of see how everything was and maybe clean up a bit, I kept having to wipe off nose prints off the glass that was on the front of the boxes because people were just so absorbed by it and they were just kind of peering in. And you know, it was really wonderful. Kind of, it was something I didn't expect, didn't think would happen, but yeah, it was really lovely.
Yeah, it's amazing what you can get from a flat white sheet of paper into these
A4.
Yeah,
well,
they are amazing. So the book does encourage us to have a go. If I was having a go, I would have very strong nerve medication standing by. What else would I need to have a go? What tools do I need to have a go
Okay,
with?
Well, you should get yourself a self-healing cutting mat.
Okay.
So that you don't mess up your mother's dining table.
Yep.
Get a clip around the ear for that.
Yes.
And then, you know, a decent steel ruler, and then also an X-Acto knife, which is pretty much like a surgeon's knife. You know, also essential to that is some nice music mm-hmm. and a cup of tea. And some patience as well. I when I work, I almost exclusively only work to soundtracks. I really love soundtracks.
What's your favourite?
Oh, I love Hans Zimmer. Everything he does, I'm just kind of like, so I find it really overwhelming. And
flicking through the book. So I have the book here in front of me, and it is such a beautifully put together book. So having a little flick now at some of the different scenes that you've got there. You've got, let's see, Skull Island, mm-hmm. the Headless Horseman of the Sleepy Hollow, mm-hmm. Dracula's Castle.
Yes. And
then there's another one here called Alien Abduction. So yeah. Now, you do have cutting tips. I have to read this out. It says...
Oh dear, what have I written?
So in your cutting tips here, it says, there are quite a few organic shapes in this model. Rather than straight lines, I'd start with the cow and the abductee whilst you're still fresh. What is going to happen to me if I start on one of these creations?
You just have to find out. But I know what happens. I know what happens when they go wrong.
I can imagine.
People ask me all the time. What does it ever mess up when you're halfway through and nearly fish? And I'm like, yeah, of course it does.
Yeah.
And I should pretend that I'm really zen about it mm-hmm. when it happens. But the reality is, I throw a massive, massive tantrum.
I'm sure the cutting board across the room.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, if you do it and you complete it, then you know you get a real kind of sense of reward from it. Something that I'm really kind of enjoying promoting, like a side to this is that, you know, I know the word mindfulness is really a buzzword at the moment, and without getting too philosophical about it, I think this kind of book really does kind of have a bit of that in its essence, mm-hmm. and that you sit down and you've set up your workstation and you start making this stuff and you don't look at your phone, you don't look at your TV, you don't look at your computer, and you kind of just really enjoy the moment of actually crafting something. And you know, a lot of adults these days, I think, they're scared to make stuff. They think mm. that because they were, when they were at the age of 12 and they couldn't quite master the art of drawing something in perspective, it meant that they weren't any good at art. And it's really not the case. And people lose that ability to just have that fearlessness to when you're creating something. And
I actually am a huge fan of horror myself. So
how are you?
If I do your full 20 scenes, do you think I would have the know-how to create anything like this myself?
I think if you manage to do all 20, you'll probably go insane. And that's the ultimate. That's the kind of the finale of this horror thing.
But right, I'm flicking through. It doesn't say that anywhere in the footnotes. Do all
20
and go. No,
there is a small caveat on last page.
Perfect.
So no, of course, yeah. I think you'd very quickly realize that how the technique works and you know how to engineer a piece of paper. And I'm ready actually, because people are sending me pictures of the ones that they've cut, and it's been really rewarding. And
Halloween is literally around the corner.
Yes.
If you were stuck on a desert island and you could bring one scary DVD, what would your desert island DVD scary movie be?
Oh, that's so difficult. I just pick one. I have got such a long list of favourite horror movies, and they all have something different and unique about them and a particular reason why I like them. But the horror film that I think that still stands up today and still like kind of gets my skin crawling is The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, crikey,
which is quite controversial because it is a modern film, and people, you know, horror fans would probably end up choosing something older, but I really think that stands up well.
Well, of course, because that was the birth. We'd never seen anything like that before, and that was the birth of all the paranormal activities.
And actually, you know what? It was sort of kind of based on a BBC show that would come out in the early 90s called Ghost Watch,
mm-hmm. Which with Sarah Green, isn't that right?
Yeah, that's
yes,
right.
Do you remember?
That was that was one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen on TV, and it's really made a massive impact on me. And actually the creator emailed me the other day saying that he'd read that I'd mentioned it in the book, which is really, really nice. But so that was the kind of first sort of mockumentary kind of thing. But Blair Witch, and you know, I think that's a cracking film.
Perfect. Well, Paper Dandy Horigami is out in all good shops now.
It
so
is.
Mark, thank you very much for making your way into the studios to speak to me.
Thank you.